The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, winners and sinners, where we cast our eye over the week that has just passed by. Who is on the naughty list for Santa and who indeed will be getting a decent present? Our guests will tell us same. I'm delighted to be joined here in studio by Emer Hallahan of Cork's Red FM and Joe O'Shea of CorkBio.ie. Good evening to you both.
Hiya.
Good evening.
I'm surprised you made it through the deluge this
yes.
morning. I thought we may have needed a boat.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
It was
wasn't
pretty
it?
Bad and it's going to get worse tomorrow as well.
Yeah,
so.
You're full of the choice.
Yeah. And there's probably a named storm coming on Monday or Tuesday. Good chance of a named storm.
I've just put up my outdoor Christmas lights,
Joe. Okay.
I mean, they'll end up in a different part of the country if the way they're going. Look, we're going to begin with an upbeat winner. You had a great week, Emer, didn't you?
You know, I had one of those weeks where I said to myself, what in the name of God is happening? So Monday night, I was just lying on the couch, relaxing, got the kids to bed early. I was thinking, gosh, I am a winner, actually. I got them to bed at 7 o'clock, both asleep.
You were winning already.
I was winning already. And then my phone starts to ring at 8:30. And I was thinking, well, I'm just on my way to bed. Who in the name of God is ringing me? So I answer the phone. Emer, is there any chance you would go by private car tomorrow up to the Tree Arena and do a video and audio for an interview with the band Five? And I thought to myself, well, I have to be a mother tomorrow, so let me get on to my mother, see what she's up to and if she wants to take her gorgeous grandkids. And she said, yes, of course I do.
You emphasised the gorgeous part when you were asking, clearly.
I said, you know, your two delicious grandsons, would you like them tomorrow? She said, absolutely. So happy days. I said, yeah, no problem. So we all went off on our merry way at 12 o'clock. Up in a private car, a limousine. Did you know that a limousine in Ireland, they don't have to be stretched? So all there needs to be is a little green ring on the top left-hand corner of the windscreen.
All right.
So it's usually yellow for taxis, green for limousines.
Sorry, was it a Ford Transit van or what?
No, it was a Mercedes, but I expected. Okay. He was saying, oh, we're in the limousine. And I was thinking, my friend, this is no more a limousine
this is not
than my Ford
this
Puma.
This is not starting well, Joe. I don't know about you.
But it was fabulous. So off we went up to the Tree Arena, backstage, interviewed the lads. They were absolutely great crack. Now, if I'm honest, I had to Google them. I said,
yeah, you see, this is the bit that people can't see you.
Yes.
They don't know how young you are. So how young are you?
I'm 27.
And when was the last time that Five performed together?
As a Five, 25 years ago.
Right.
So I was the ripe old age of two.
God almighty.
Do you feel old, Joe?
Yes,
I was thinking to myself, do they mean six? Is it six that we're going to see? No, it wasn't six. I can confirm it was Five. And we went up, we did the interview and we said, look, we'll stay for one song. You know, we'll get the idea of, you know, what the vibe is going to be. They were so good. We could not go home. So we text our driver. We said, look, we have a spare ticket. Any chance you want to come in, Dara? And I was thinking, there's no way in hell now he's going to say, yeah, of course I want to come in. He said, absolutely, Emer. So there we were, the four of us. It was one of the best concerts I have ever been to. I don't know any of their songs. Sure, of course I don't. Oh, now, get on up when you're down, baby.
We'd be familiar with that.
Okay.
Can I ask a question,
classic,
though, right?
Yeah.
When you were there and you were kind of getting into it, what was the age profile like of the people who were there?
I'll tell you now. They said at the start of the show.
Should you have sent your mother and you stayed with the grandkids?
Well, they said, okay, who here is from the 1990s? Give us a woo. Woo. Who's here from the 2000s? Give us a woo. Woo. Who's here from the 1980s? And I'm telling you now, the 90s, 80s crowd, they were unbeatable. Like every single person was on their feet. It was one of the best shows. We couldn't leave. We literally couldn't leave. They were even teaching us dance moves at the choruses of their songs. It was outstanding.
And you got to meet them as well. Were they as nice in real life?
They were like five toddlers. Like they were just kind of fighting with each other, kicking each other, messing. And I was like, actually, I feel like I'm at home slightly.
Yeah, you know? They didn't get to bed at 7 o'clock.
I was going to ask them, will I put on Paw Patrol, guys? Do you want to have Paw Patrol there now for 5 minutes to calm down before the interview?
Joe, I always thought you looked like you should have been in a boy band. I mean,
you've got a hairline. That's what I was going to say, the hairline.
Style.
Well, I was my claim to fame in boy bands. I was at the original auditions for Westlife. I wasn't taking part in them or anything like that. That I was covering them for a newspaper in Dublin. And I remember on the day talking to some of the guys who ended up in Westlife, and a couple of, I'm not great with names of the Westlife guys, but
I'm obsessed with them all. Nicky, Kian, Mark, Shane, Brian.
The guy from out west, Sligo, Mayo.
There are three of them now.
Yeah,
fair.
All right, okay. Yeah. One of them actually came up to me and was asking me, is this where I go for the auditions, sir? And stuff like that. Like, you know. And I was like, yeah, it's just true there. Yeah, go on. Good luck with that now and stuff like that. So, I mean.
But there's big money in there. I mean, obviously, with the roar from the 1980s that Emer experienced, yeah. I mean, there's a reason they're coming back, isn't there?
I have good friends who work in the live music business, in concerts and internationally, and tour with major acts, right? One of my best friends from when I was a kid works with Radiohead and tours the world with them. The bands that are making money, the acts that are making money these days, the only bankable live ones are the huge stars like Beyonce and the nostalgia acts, the legacy acts. They are packing out arenas all over the world because the people in their 40s and 50s will reliably spend money. They will go
to
these
gigs.
They have the money and they will spend it. And they're the kind of acts that people want to see.
Yeah.
And it's pure nostalgia. There are these huge touring festivals in the UK and Europe where it's just 80s acts, right? And they come on and they do three, like 80s acts you barely remember. China Crisis, you know, Living in a Box,
yeah,
all of those
I know
guys.
Them. Yeah,
these bands from that you forgot about years ago, but they'll come on and they'll do three songs. They're big three hits.
This is what like the likes of Branson, Missouri was like. You know, there used to be somewhere where the old acts would go to die. I mean, that's what Vegas was initially.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny you say Vegas, because like Alanis Morissette, who's just announced a show in Cork for next summer, she was did a residency in Las Vegas. You know, Alanis Morissette did it last summer, did a residency in Las Vegas. So the live music now, because they're not making money off CD sales, album sales, so it's the live music.
They have to do the live shows. We're staying musical for your winner, Joe.
Yes.
Different kind of music and more political.
Oh, yes. This is the Eurovision, of course. Yes. This to me is fascinating, right? And we found out yesterday that RTE in Ireland basically will not be taking part in the Eurovision this year or next year.
Next year.
And also that I think Slovenia, the Netherlands, and I think Spain as well are out as well. And this has become an international story. I found out about this because I got a push notification on my phone from the New York Times. Ireland to boycott Eurovision, which was bizarre. I was looking at it going, is this like, you know, is something going on here? It's inevitable. And the EBU, which organises the whole thing, tried to dodge the issue by not allowing a vote on the member states on whether Israel should be allowed into the Eurovision this year. Ireland has taken, I think, the RTE have taken a very principled stance. I think it's the right decision. I think history will prove it'll be the right decision. I know the Eurovision doesn't seem like a big deal, right? Who cares? If the Israeli government likely spent millions of dollars last time around.
Well, and it was all a little moosh yesterday. Mm. They said, it was all above board. There was nothing wrong with what happened. But and without wading into it, Israel came second in Ireland on the televote, which I don't think anyone would have seen or predicted.
There's allegations that the Israeli government spent millions of dollars pushing the Israeli on advertising on the internet, on YouTube, everywhere. If you were on YouTube at the time, you saw ads everywhere. So it does matter to the Israelis. You can tell by their reaction. The head of the Israeli delegation, when asked about Ireland, said, it's Ireland. They haven't sent a good song in 25 years. I'm like,
mind you.
Well, Bambi Thug did amazing.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
They really did.
Yeah, we did. We have actually sent reasonable songs. We did send a Turkey as well. But Emer, this is one of the things where RTE kind of read the room well with the Irish public.
Yeah, I was so happy. I suppose, especially, I think in my generation, it was, you know, it was a black and white issue. Of course we don't take part. And I thought it was interesting that the EBU instead took a vote for participating broadcasters. They only voted to introduce new rules designed to stop governments like Israel and third parties from disappropriately promoting songs to influence voters. So it's interesting that you brought that up, because it's so funny to me that they took the vote on that versus whether or not Israel should be involved. So it's kind of like they dodged a bullet, I think. They said, okay, we won't let them vote on this, but look, we'll let them vote on this. So, you know, Israel can't buy that many votes. Mm. I think that they kind of did it in that sense, but I'm delighted, you know, that Ireland have said absolutely not, we're not taking part.
Does this mean, we retain the option to watch it with Graham Norton? Do you think that Irish people will still watch it because they like the show?
I won't be watching it personally, but I always think when you've got skin in the game, you're going to watch it. Sure, I'd be sitting down watching soccer a few weeks ago, screaming, come on, Troy Parrott, at the telly. I've never sat down and watched soccer. I think when you've skin in the game, you sit down and you watch those things.
I don't think there's going to be Eurovision next year.
Really?
I don't think it's going to go ahead. I think it's going to be such a headache that And it came, it's come close, like, you know, and the Netherlands were thrown out, their entry was thrown out after an altercation with the Israeli delegation.
Which was kind of a little bit handbags.
It was a bit, seemed like they were stomping around the place looking for trouble, the Israeli delegation, you know, from what we're hearing, but what happened backstage, you know?
Well, it is happening right now, we are led to believe, but Ireland will have none of it. So our record as the country that has won the most Eurovisions will remain intact, even if we're not there. Who is your sinner this week, Joe?
Netflix. And here's why, right? Here's
hang on a sec. I've watched some good shows on Netflix this week now. Come on, steady on.
I have Netflix and there's great stuff on it. I'm more of an Apple fan these days myself. And I'm mad into streaming quality drama, and I think Apple's where it is. But Netflix have signed today a huge epoch-making deal. $85 billion they paid for Warner Brothers Discovery, right? So Netflix are effectively buying this legacy, this great Warner Brothers, this great studio, this great kind of entertainment behemoth, like that stretches right back to the 1920s or 30s. It means that Netflix have beaten out Paramount, for instance, who are their main competitors in the deal, and Paramount are a screaming foul, right? Mm-hmm. This was a really bloody corporate battle.
Paramount not very popular with Mr. Donald Trump at the moment. Well, either, so they can't go crying to him.
Yeah, well, here's the other issue as well about the whole thing, that Trump has waded in to the kind of the whole media net world in the US and is basically deciding who gets to buy what and who runs what. Why should people care that Netflix are after buying Warner Bros? Why should Irish people care? Well, here's the thing. First of all, if they pay $85 billion for something, who's going to be picking up the bill for that eventually?
Oh, I'm sure they won't pass it on to the consumer. Yeah. That's the last thing that'll happen.
Now, Irish Netflix users have already seen a very hefty price rise this year. The standard went up to 16, I think it's $16.99 now a month. The premium is €24 basically a month. That was I think an increase by about 25%. We're going to be paying more in the long run, right? Yeah. Netflix will need to get their money back. On the other hand, you could say we're going to see Netflix is going to have a whole.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, you mentioned Warner Brothers, right? Yeah. But that also brings in TNT Sport. It also brings in ESPN.
Yeah.
It also, you know, there's a whole load of things that are going to be brought into that.
I mean, HBO.
Yeah. Like, and HBO Max was only supposed to be launching in a couple of weeks' time, wasn't
it? Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. Netflix now, the power that Netflix will have after this deal, they will decide what gets made, when it gets made, who gets paid. Like, they have a stranglehold now with this over the streaming industry.
Yeah.
The Netflix model is that they have to keep growing. That's how they pay, and they spend billions and billions on content. So it's an extraordinary deal, and it will have long-term content.
Given that we established your age when we were talking about Fiverr, I have to just make the point that, you know, Netflix started out as a DVD return service, seems nonsense now. But, like, ultimately, Joe's right, we're going to end up paying for this, or else we're going to see a lot more ads, and probably quality is going to suffer as well, isn't it?
Well, surely they're going to have to start introducing ads when they've got such a large catalogue of different things that they're going to be showing on Netflix now. I suppose they've kind of been diversifying over the last few years, even with introducing things like, you know, the live fights and all that they've started bringing in. So they're definitely, I think, testing a live feature more. Like, they even started doing live reunions for things like Love is Blind. So I definitely think we're going to see a bit more live on Netflix, you know, in whatever capacity that could be, whether they go down the route of talk shows or things like that as well. I think that could start coming into Netflix as a whole. Clearly, they want the monopoly in this industry and they're right on their way to getting it. They probably have it already now with this takeover. But I suppose from a consumer standpoint, you kind of think, okay, so what are they going to be showing me now? If Paramount, you know, is on the bad side of Trump and Netflix seems to be on the better side, what are we going to be fed now? How is the content going to be, I suppose, watered down and diminished in a little bit of a way as well? Even with documentary making and things like that, they were always at the forefront of bringing out these, you know, 6-part series and things like that. So I think it's interesting to think about what will come of Netflix. Like, how is it going to diversify as a platform as well?
And you look at America, where linear television, as we'd know it, Joe, is kind of dead already.
Yeah, it's... And the funny thing is the streamers are now moving into the kind of, in many ways, into the linear style, where they are doing way more
live stuff. Yeah.
Everybody's trying to get the crown jewels of international sport as well. Formula One, English Premier League soccer, you know, golf, they're spending huge, huge amounts to grab these because they're the ones that drive the audiences, that bring new subscribers in, you know, the Ryder Cup or whatever.
But you know what? I'm just annoyed at the volume that you have to, and you have to stay on top of going, right? I've watched Slow Horses,
yeah.
So now I have to cancel Apple, right? Yeah. But there's something coming on Amazon that I need new episodes of Reacher, so I'm going to have to, it's very confusing. And you end up leaving the subscriptions there until you remember them later on. You kick yourself in the backside.
Yeah, and there's, like, nobody could physically watch all of the stuff, and even all of the good stuff. There's stuff that I have on my long list of like, oh, I really have to watch that, and I just never get around to seeing it, you know. So it's a huge deal. A huge deal.
Eber, what's on your list for Sinner this week?
Well, speaking of subscriptions, Spotify.
So
this year,
what does Spotify do to you? Lovely music.
Listen, I said to myself this year, Eimear, you got to cut down the subscriptions. You're just subscribing to everything, but whether it be like razors getting delivered in the post, Spotify for my music, all these different things. I said, no, Eimear, come on, relax now. We got to cut out some of these subscriptions, Spotify being one of them. Sure, all I listen to is the soundtrack of the Sing 1 and 2 movies for my toddlers. I listen to Paw Patrol podcasts. So not podcasts, they're called pawcasts because they're dogs. You know, those are the kind
are
of things...
Sorry, now just forgive me. Are these the actual dogs or...
No, it's kind of little stories. It's quite cute.
Sorry, it's probably some sort of like behind the music. VH1. You know, I had a terrible drug problem at the time and nobody wanted to help me.
Similar, but not quite. Not quite. So I was thinking to myself, oh, it's Spotify Wrapped week. I'm so excited. Even though I don't have premium, I didn't realize that I would be stripped of my Spotify Wrapped, but
so
I was.
You have been effectively cast out.
I've been cast
out
by Spotify.
You don't know your age. Your
and
Spotify
I'm the one
age.
Who listens to all the ads. I listen to so many of their ads. I'm like, guys, come on, surely I could get a Wrapped. All your ad funding goes to me. Like, literally.
Did you get a Spotify Wrapped, Joe?
I just cancelled my Spotify.
Oh, you didn't get a Wrapped either?
No.
We're in the same boat.
But I'm going to be incredibly woke here now and say that there's reasons why I cancel it. And one of them being that they're carrying ads and they're taking money off ICE in America. Spotify are running ads
are
for
they?
ICE in America. Yeah,
did not know that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Also that the fact that Spotify is basically evil, you know, in that what they're doing to the music industry and how they're paying artists and content creators or whatever we want to call them.
Tiny, teeny fragments
of money. So I just went, you know what? That's it. There's a big push now towards physical media to people kind of owning DVDs and CDs and records and vinyl.
HMV opened in Cork.
I know.
I was fascinated.
I know. But
my favourite shop in the world.
It's good to see it though.
Yeah, it's great because people are realising like there's stuff goes on Netflix and then disappears and it's never, you won't be able to see it again unless you own a DVD, unless you have a physical, you know. So more people want physical stuff. I got rid of Spotify.
Well, anyway, because you both cancel it, I didn't. And I have a humble brag, right? Mm. Humble brag. Do you know, guess my Spotify age. Go on, Eimear.
Oh, 16.
16, Joe?
25.
I was actually 21.
Whoa.
Which I was really, really impressed
with. Who was your top artist?
My top artist was Kingfisher, believe it or not.
Love it.
Yes. Kingfisher were top of my list, and I can't remember someone else that I think my daughter may have had an influence on was number two, but my son, my 14-year-old, because he's on the family, with the family plan, his Spotify age was 60.
60.
That's fascinating because he's a music head, I'm guessing.
100%. He's listening to a lot of Sinatra, to a lot of Radiohead, very little new stuff. The only new thing he's listening to is Tyler, the Creator, who I wouldn't be able to pick out in the lineup.
But Kingfisher were in the ad for Spotify Wrapped this year. So that's how much of an impact that they made. Like, they were absolutely blew up on Spotify this year. So yeah, they were actually in the official Wrapped ad with like Jay Thirlwall. You know, she was from Little Mix. She went out on her own this year. So yeah, they were in the official
ad. All I'll say is Spotify age of 21, mental age of 60. So I'm happy enough to take it as it is. We will park it there for our sinners. We have anything else to come as well in just a few moments. Stay with us here on The Hard Shoulder.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
And we're in the final furlong here right now to get through to the end of the show. To do that, we have to talk about anything else. Eimear, anything else on your list?
Yeah, I want to talk about carbon monoxide alarms. And I know it's probably...
That's a bit of a calm down.
A bit of a curveball. I've gone from 5 to Spotify to carbon monoxide alarms. But, look, someone that I know recently actually got carbon monoxide poisoning, essentially.
Oh, wow.
So I just thought it was kind of a topic that isn't spoken about that much, and it's quite important, really. So, yeah, look, in Ireland, we require alarms in actually each room with a fuel burning appliance, but also the placement guidelines would be like 1 to 3 meters from like a room, a bedroom.
Yeah.
So it's actually just important to realize, I mean, I suppose I thought 1 carbon monoxide alarm in the house would be enough with, you know, in the room with the fuel burning appliance, but it's not. They should be ones near bedrooms as well. And it should actually be on the wall, preferably. A paramedic basically told my dad this and said, look, it should actually be on the wall, kind of in mid-height in the room, just because it'll catch it a little bit quicker than if it was up on the ceiling. You know, he said it's not official guidelines or things like that, because carbon monoxide can, you know, go through the air quite easily, you know, it kind of dispenses itself quite quickly, and that's why it can be so deadly.
It's a really dangerous time of the year, though, because it's when
yes.
people might light the fire
exactly.
and they haven't done anything with it maybe
yeah.
throughout the year. And you know, I'm still haunted by one story that I covered mm-hmm. As a reporter, that it was a multi-pack of crisps. They'd thrown that into the fire, it had gone up and it got stuck up the chimney, and the carbon monoxide couldn't get out the chimney, and a number of people died.
Yeah.
And it just stuck with me
yeah.
as what an awful, awful thing to happen.
Yeah. And I just think, like you said, it's this time of year. I just thought it was an important thing to talk about. Like, you need to be testing your alarms. There needs to be more than one alarm in the house. There should be alarms in your bedrooms. I mean, my God help my husband. He said, oh my God, we'll have to put in a few of those. So, and I said, Jack, we don't even have a fire. We don't even have a stove. And he was
yeah.
like, oh yeah.
And you're safe
so
enough. Yeah,
he told
yeah.
me not to say that. But I was like, Jack, please. I was like, even I
she's
know.
She's all over this.
We it's, don't it's, need it's the alarms.
I did have an issue though, that I have one, and I had it, as usual, not as sensible as mm-hmm. the paramedic recommended. Balancing precariously on top of the kitchen unit.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I hit the kitchen unit probably with my arse and it fell between, there's a kind of a gap. So yeah. it's now sitting there, and very soon the battery is going
yeah.
to go
yeah.
and
yeah.
I'm going
beep,
to be
beep,
dealing
beep.
With beep, beep,
yeah.
beep. And I
Christmas
will not be,
Day.
Yeah, probably
beep,
Christmas
beep,
Day.
Beep.
Yeah, middle, of the middle of the night. One of these days
yeah.
it's going to go, not protecting me from carbon monoxide, but highlighting how stupid I was to leave it perched where it was.
Yeah.
Joe, what's on your list?
Yeah, an extraordinary story this week, and another one of those when I got a push notification on my phone. I was like, what the hell is happening? The drones. As we know, President Zelensky visited
Dublin this week,
and his plane landed, and in and around the same time there were drones detected over the airport or around the airport, and apparently from one of the stories I've seen, these were military grade, like it wasn't some kid, you know, with a little...
Someone who picked
yeah.
up something
yeah.
in Smith's Toys.
No, it wasn't. It was apparently a very military, or there were military grade drones. They were actually on the flight path of Zelensky's plane, but because there had been a kind of a last minute delay or a change or something mm-hmm. like that, they didn't actually end up, you know, colliding or going near or getting too close. But it's just an extraordinary reminder of the strange, weird times that we live in, that
yeah.
somebody, and let's try and have a guess, shall
I can't
we?
Imagine who'd
can't
want
imagine,
to do that.
You know, what large Eastern European dictatorship would want to interfere with President Zelensky's visit to Ireland. It's just, it's an extraordinary kind of event. And also kind of highlights, it's a slap in the face for Ireland as well, because that's a major, major
But they did this
breach.
As well, didn't they? They did it in Denmark,
yeah.
And they did it in another country. I mean, it's just kind of strategy there, because they know it disrupts things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, but here, because it actually coincided, was right around President Zelensky landing in Dublin, I think that made it all the worse. The ones that you're talking about, they have happened, and they've happened right across Europe. It's this hybrid warfare that Russia is
yeah.
engaged in. Disruption, what they're trying to do, you know, to the West. But it just also, like, we know that our military capability isn't what it should
we didn't see them really, did we?
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
a bit
yeah.
of an issue. There was the Air Corps were there, the Navy were there,
yeah.
and we didn't see them. They said they left the lights on,
yeah.
which was sound of them,
yeah.
So that nobody crash into them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they're presumably what they were saying, if they were real nasty guys,
yes.
yeah.
they'd have turned the lights off.
Yes,
the
yeah.
So thanks for that, lads.
And again, like, you know, our military can only be as good as the equipment they get and the funding they get and the training they get. And I think, you know, you can't lay the blame at guys in uniform who are out there doing their best. It just seems that we have not taken our defence seriously. We haven't taken our military responsibilities and requirements seriously for so long. We've underfunded the defence forces, basically. And that's going to have to change. We know yeah. it has to change. You just look around the world we're living in today.
And also, if you are getting a drone for Christmas, Here's a hint. Don't fly it near an airport.
No.
They tend to frown on that kind of thing. Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in. You look like people who won't be rushing out Christmas shopping. There's a nice relaxed look of you.
Oh, yeah.
So you're parking that
strolling
for the
out for a coffee. Done.
That's the way to have it. Yeah. Eimear Hallan of Cork's Red FM, Joe O'Shea of Cork Bio. Thank you both very much for joining us. That is it for the Hard Shoulder for this evening. My thanks to the very hardworking production team. Claire Collins was our producer on research. Megan O'Halloran, Dylan Hand and Hugh Keenan. Michael Quilligan and Ken Doran. And we're on sound. Gerard Doherty's back here on Monday. Have yourselves a great weekend.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.